Scripture reading this morning will come from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I will be reading from the King James Version. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Is everyone able to hear me? I want to make sure that I'm not speaking too low. Okay. All right. Thank you for that thumbs up, sir. And so, I'm glad to see everyone here. What a blessing it is to be here upon the first day of the week to worship God in spirit and in truth. And this truly is the best place to be today. And so, as we've been talking about all month, we've been discussing about making God's choice to purge out those things from our lives which ought not to be there, so that God can be able to prune us, because we want God to prune us so that we can be able to bear more fruit unto Him, that we can be able to act more like a Christian should act, that we should live according to the Word of God the best that we can. And Brother Mike has been coming from John chapter 15, and so I'm going to try to use this pointer right here. Hopefully this will work because I have the passage up there. Okay. Let me see. There it is. There it is. Okay. All right. So this is the passage that Mr. Bonner has been coming from. And so if y'all could please turn with me there to John chapter 15. I would like for us to have this in mind, and I won't be going through it and breaking it down as Mr. Bonner has. I'll let him handle that, as he's been doing a great job of it. And so here in John chapter 15, starting at verse 1, Jesus would say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And it also says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so, with this in mind, the topic, as is shown on this screen right here, is we're going to be discussing making God's choice to be selfless. And this is very important because selfishness rules in the hearts of many. I'm reminded that the Apostle Paul would write in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Jesus Christ. And that's a very important text because we don't want to be selfish. We want to be, as the title says, selfless. And whenever you think about selfishness, well, it's not good. Because whenever we're selfish, we won't use the time that God has given us, well, to spend reading His Word. And when we're selfish, we won't help out our brother, yea, even our neighbor who is around us. Why? Because we want to go do something that we want to do. I don't got time for that. I don't got time to go help out no one. That's a selfish attitude, and that's not right. And also, now this one really was hitting home whenever I was thinking about it. Whenever we're selfish, we won't even use the borrowed time that we have. And I really want to emphasize that. The time that we have, it's not even ours. It's borrowed time that God gave to us. And so whenever we're selfish, we won't even use that borrowed time to seek the God who even gave us time in the first place. I'm reminded that the psalmist would say in Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked in his proud countenance, the wicked in his proud face does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Psalm 10 verse 4. And so we do not want to be like that. We want God to be in all of our thoughts. We want to be selfless doing His will. The prophet Jeremiah would write in the long ago in Jeremiah 29 at verse 13, and this is what the Lord said, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's Jeremiah 29 at verse 13. And so we have to be selfless. We have to be like Jesus Christ. And so with this in mind, well, we've been discussing about bearing fruit unto God. And what better passage to go to than the Magna Carta of bearing fruit? The passage that describes to us what the fruit of the Spirit is. And so if y'all could please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, as was read a moment ago in our hearing. In Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Now, I want to give y'all some background on this book. And so, whenever we think about the book of Galatians, we learn that there were some false brethren secretly brought in who were saying that unless people were circumcised according to the custom of Moses, they could not be saved. That's Acts 15 verse 1. And so, they were perverting the gospel by adding to it. And then when we get to chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, Paul's saying, don't go back to that law of Moses, because if you do, then you've fallen from grace. They would become estranged from Christ, those who attempt to be justified by the law. And then he was referring to how there was two covenants, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And he said, well, that we're to be under the law of Christ. We're to walk according to the Spirit's teachings, specifically the New Testament. And so that's when we get to Galatians 5 at verse 16. And the Bible here reads, as Brother Daniel read a moment ago, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And then he would say, but if you are led by the Spirit, literally by the Spirit's teachings, what we read in the Word of God, you are not under the law. And so this brings us to this next slide. And so we're going to be talking about the works of the flesh real quick. And so it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19 and following. Now, I want us to notice what is at the heart of this passage. Selfish ambitions. And so if we're seeking our own will, well, then we'll do all these things. We won't even want to bear fruit unto God. So if we can be able to purge out, to rid selfishness from our life, well, then we'll live how God wants us to live. We'll be able to produce, to bear fruit unto God. And so let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. Can y'all please begin with me at verse 22 of this same chapter? Now, we learn about this ninefold fruit. Now, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, watch this, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then it also would say gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit according to the Spirit's teachings. It says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so we want to be able to rid selfishness out of our life, so that we can be able, so that we can be able to bear fruit unto God. And it's because we don't only want to be, well, reading the Word of God. We want to go out and apply it to see the great effects that it can have in our lives. Our dear brother James would write in James 1 verse 22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We want to live out the Word of God in our lives, because not only will we benefit from it, but also those round about us will benefit from it as well. And so this first point that we have, point number one, we have to examine our hearts. How can we make God's choice to be selfless? By examining our hearts. Because if we don't realize, well, I'm not saying that everyone in here is selfish. I don't know y'all, but y'all know yourselves. And so we have to examine our own selves, because I can tell you, I sometimes have to sit back and examine myself to see if I'm doing what's right, because I may be on my phone too much. I may spend too much time at the gym. And so I don't want to be doing that. I don't want to be selfish with my time when I could be using it towards something else productive. Not saying that I waste too much time using those, because you can be able to use your phone for productive things. But sometimes you'll get scrolling through YouTube, you'll waste hours that you could be using helping someone else. And so we have to examine our hearts. And so with this being said, could y'all please turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 at verse 19. And this is a very familiar passage, which most people often quote verse 16. And well, when we examine the text, we'll learn who's speaking. Jesus is speaking. And so he says in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then he would go on at verse 18 to say in John chapter 3, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then we get to verse 19 through 21. And so this goes well with our first point. We have to examine ourselves to see our spiritual condition before God. We have to be spiritual fruit inspectors. We have to see what we're producing in our lives. And so the Word of God says, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. some men's sins, we can see them black and white. But when it comes to shining that light upon ourselves, we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Watch out with that. We can sometimes see other people's sins so easily. It's clear cut and dry. But whenever it comes to us, it gets fuzzy. We got to keep coming to the light. We got to inspect ourselves. Now, I want us to notice some very important things that we learn in this text. We see that men love darkness. They were practicing evil. They hated the light. Why? Because they didn't want to be exposed. However, we should not be like that. We should be like the other half of this passage, in which we're the ones who want to come to the light, that our deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Because the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It can be able to illuminate how we truly are within ourselves. The Word of God is a discerner of the heart. I'm reminded that the Hebrews writer would write in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. And so we have to examine ourselves. And so that leads me to the next passage. Right here, we have two passages, one from 1 Corinthians and one from 2 Corinthians. Now, the first one is in the context of worship. And well, we're in worship right now. And as Brother Bonner had mentioned whenever he was, well, offering up the Lord's Supper, that we have to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves before we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it's a more general, well, examination. Literally, it's a heart check. We got to make sure that we're not playing heart games with God. And so I want us to notice what these two passages have in common. Examination. We have to examine ourselves. We've got to put the spiritual spotlight on ourselves and see if we have any selfishness in us. Because if we're selfish, we won't do what God says. And we do not want to fall into that category. And I'm reminded that Jeremiah would record what the Lord had said in Jeremiah 17, verse 10. The Word of God says, "I, the Lord, He searches the heart. He tests the minds, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit." There's that word again. According to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17 at verse 10. And so we want to be able to realize if we're acting selfish. And so this brings me to my second point. We've noticed that we have to examine ourselves to see our spiritual condition. Then we got to do something about it. We can't leave it there. We got to get it out. We got to purge it out. Because if not, well, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And we do not want to be, well, filled with selfishness. And so we have to purge selfishness out. And so how do we do that? Well, I want us to notice this passage. We often go to this to be able to realize the three categories of sin. And so here in 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, the Word of God reads over here. It says, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the world, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And it says, well, "And the world is passing away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so we learn about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when you think about it, well, if we're being selfish, we're going to do all of those. But we do not want to be like that. We want to be, well, those people who do the will of God, not our own will, as mentioned previously in that passage, but we want to do the will of God. And so how do we purge these things out? If y'all could please turn with me to James chapter 1. It was mentioned a moment ago. And this is a great passage to look at when it comes to purging out those things which ought not to be in our hearts, in our minds. And so in James chapter 1, studying at verse 19, and I'm going to verse 19 specifically. I would have put a spotlight on verse 21 alone, but we need to get some background, some context. And actually, in the previous verse, at verse 18, the Word of God says, well, concerning God, of His own will, He begot us by the Word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So, reference a moment ago, right before this verse, is the Word of God. And so that's very important, because let's see what this text says. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear what? Swift to hear the Word of God, according to verse 18. It says, slow to speak. Slow to speak on what? Slow to speak on the Word of God. And it also says, slow to wrath. Slow to be wrathful concerning what? The Word of God. Well, because there might be some things in the Word of God that make us mad. We're like, what? You tell me that I can't do that, God? Well, we are not the Creator. He is. He knows how His creation works best. And so right here it says, for the wrath of man. And let's get a highlight on those. So we have to be swift to hear the Word of God, slow to speak on the Word of God, and slow to be wrathful about what the Word of God says. And now it says, oh wait, sorry. There it is. I can barely see it underlined. So it says the wrath of man, and then it has the righteousness of God. Well, we can't be angry. We better not act out on that anger. We've got to control it. We've got to be able to get those things out of our lives. We've got to lay them aside, those things which are not right according to the Word of God. Now, notice there's two things that are happening in this verse that I want to focus on. It says, therefore, lay aside. We've got to lay aside what? All filthiness and overflow of wickedness. If I could simply put it, everything that is not supposed to be in our hearts according to the Word of God. And now it says, now you've laid something aside, but if you lay something aside, well, then you're empty. Now you've got to receive something. What do we receive? Receive with meekness. Receive with humility. The implanted Word, what is it able to do? It's able to save our souls. And so it's important to purge out the selfishness. We've got to examine it. We've got to examine ourselves and then purge out those things which ought not to be there. And so with that being said, let's continue on through the lesson to point number three. Point number three. Well, we've realized that we have to examine ourselves, then purge out selfishness. But then point number three, we got to have a servant's mind. After we've purged out the selfishness, then we got to act selfless, as our lesson title. And so what better passage to go to than Philippians chapter 2? And Brother Ryan was teaching on Philippians in the classroom, and I'm going to tell you the truth, we did not collaborate on this, so this is pretty amazing, because now we're about to go more deep into the book of Philippians as we were about to do in that classroom back there. And so this is a great passage to go to right here in Philippians. Now, notice with me the first word, and I have it underlined, therefore. Well, as a brother once said, well, what is it therefore? We got to go back to chapter 1, verse 27. And there's something very important that is said in chapter 1, verse 27. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you or am absent, I may know of your affairs, that you stand fast in the gospel, that you be of one mind, and that you're striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified of your adversaries, which is to them a token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His name, having the same affliction which you saw in me and now here is in me. Then we get to verse 1 of chapter 2, and it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind, of one accord. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. This is a great passage to go to when it comes to, well, purging out selfishness. Why? Well, let us notice something in the text. In verse 3, it says conceit. Well, how are we to let nothing be done through conceit? Well, the text literally gives us the, well, poison that will kill us, and then it shows us the antidote so that we can be able to combat it. So it says conceit. How are we to let nothing be done through conceit? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, notice also what is mentioned, selfish ambition. And we don't want to be selfish. Well, God, how do I combat selfishness? He gives us the antidote. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own things, or look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It's right there in the text. But we got to have it in our mind. And speaking of having it in our mind, well, this is exactly what was in the Son of God's mind. And so, sorry, I stopped right there, but I want to keep going through the Philippians chapter 2 text. And so if y'all could please pick up with me at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And so in Philippians chapter 2 at verse 5, it begins with, let this mind be in you. And we barely reference the mind that was being talked about. And so we have to not be selfish. We have to not be conceited. We have to, well, serve as Christ did. And so here, I would like for us to read this passage. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. It says, and taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, well, he was found in appearance as a man. And it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so here in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us three great accounts of selflessness, starting with the greatest of them all, Jesus Christ himself. And so we have to be able to follow after this example. And it's very difficult sometimes, and I really want to capitalize on this. Jesus Christ came to this world to die. He was born to die. And that whole time he knew that people were going to reject him, that people were not going to believe in him and do what he says, to obey him. Yet that didn't stop him from doing the Father's will. Even though he knew people were going to reject him, he still went to that cross because he knew that some would accept him. And so how do we apply that to our lives? Well, I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I'm in a situation right now. And well, when it comes to this, we have to have it in our mind. We have to realize that we can go out and help these lost people the best that we can. But we have to realize that some of them, even after we've done everything that we can, they might not obey. Does that mean that we failed our part? No, that doesn't mean that we failed our part. As mentioned ago, according to Jesus' life, that's exactly what some people did. They rejected him after he did everything for them. Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And well, whenever they reject the word of God, well, they're not rejecting us, even though we're the one who's speaking it to them. Jesus would say in Luke 10, verse 16, about how when someone would hear the disciples, they would hear Him. But if someone would reject them, they were rejecting Christ. And if they reject Christ, then they're rejecting the one who sent Him. And so ultimately, when someone rejects the Word of God that we're speaking to them, they're ultimately rejecting God and not us. And so that takes another type of selflessness, to be able to serve others all the while knowing you could do your best and they won't obey. But let me give you some comfort, because I know that may be a hard pill to swallow, as I'm still trying to swallow it myself. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 55, and if y'all could please turn with me there, it shows us about how the Word of God, well, it will not fail. It will accomplish for that thing in which it was sent. So in Isaiah 55, starting at verse 8, and we'll read through verse 11, the Word of God says something very, very important here, as it always does. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Jehovah has said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways." It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not fail, but it shall accomplish what I sent it." Sorry. It says, "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And so a sower went out to sow the seed. And we know about the four different types of soils. And so some soils, it's going to be able to produce some 30-fold, 60, 100-fold. Others, the birds of the air, the devil's going to come and take that word which was planted in their heart. But what we got to do is be selfless, serving servants, going out there and serving our brethren and serving the world as well. And so this brings me to the close of the lesson, in which I want to recap over what we went over. How can we make God's choice to be selfless? We have to examine our hearts. We got to purge out selfishness if we see it in our hearts, in our minds, that is. Point number three, once we purge it out, well, then we got to go and live out selflessness in our life. We have to have a servant's mind. We got to be like Jesus. And I'm reminded that even when he was 12 years old in the temple in Jerusalem, as we have recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 42, whenever his parents came to him, and then he asked them two questions. "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And then whenever he started his earthly ministry, we have recorded for us in John chapter 4, about how his disciples had urged him to eat. And then he told them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." And he said, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Later in John chapter 9, he will say, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work." John chapter 9, verse 4. And even unto the end of his life, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we had sung a moment ago, when it comes to that Night with Eben Pinion song, he had the attitude, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that's the type of attitude that we have to have. We've got to reject our will. We've got to bend our will and submit to his will. And so with that being said, I want to offer the invitation and to say, well, there may be some here who are doubting your salvation, or maybe you don't even know that you are saved, or you want to learn what the Word of God has to say. Well, we'd love to sit down and study with you, to open up the Word of God, to give you a "Thus saith the Lord," not an "I think, I feel, I know," but what is written, "A thus saith the Lord." And so we offer up that invitation to y'all. And also for those of us who are members, well, it may be the case that you've let this world creep into your heart, into your mind, that you become selfish. Well, brother or sister, we don't want you to stay in that state. We want you to be selfless, to live for the one who died for you. And so if there's any way that we can help you, whether it be that you need the prayers of the congregation or you need someone to sit down and talk with you to hear what you're going through, whatever your need may be, please come forward as we together stand and sing.